Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We wanted to look back, well, on yesterday and understand. I didn't even notice this national shutdown. I got all excited and had things to look at and talk about. But I thought it was just pretty much a non-event, certainly wherever I went. But maybe I'm wrong. Dobby Ruit, he's founder and director of the and chief economist of the Efficient Group. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure, of course. Good morning to you, and thank you for asking me.
So how was this national shutdown?
No, certainly not. This wasn't a national shutdown. There were some disruptions here and there. And, you know, that is a bit of something that we, I think, in South Africa, especially our labor leaders in South Africa, that they need to change. They think that if you have a huge, if you can disrupt the economy, if you can shut down the economy, then that has been some sort of a success. That wasn't the case yesterday, but that's not the way to go about things. If you're unhappy about the conditions, working conditions, unhappy about your wages, whatever the case may be, of course you can go on a strike. It is your right to go on a strike. It's your right and correct to organize yourself collectively in some sort of form. But to go and disrupt things and break things, that's not the way to go about doing things. And I think that's something that we need to do. But coming back to your question, is that, no, it has not been that disruptive. I think it was perhaps a bit of a damp squib. And I think that the labor leaders wanting to disrupt the economy, they're a little bit disappointed. Maybe it is important also to understand that there are many moving parts when you talk about labor in South Africa. There's so much infighting. Remember, the union memberships are falling all over the place, including globally. So union membership are falling, and there's huge competition to get more and more members on board. And we've got two major labor federations in South Africa, SAFTU and KUSATU, and they are very, very aggressively competing for those few members that still want to join a labor union in South Africa. So I think that is something to understand. And of course, there's a lot of infighting. There are questions about their finances. And there are some political questions as well. I think Willem Vava yesterday sort of hinted to the possibility that a new, perhaps a Labour kind of political party is required in South Africa. So maybe the political landscape in South Africa is likely to change soon as well.
But isn't it very significant? Because all we need to do is read the room, right? And the room has told the labor unions that we want to work and we actually don't want to be disrupted. And we want to actually, if we've got a job, we want to keep it. We want to get paid and we want to bring money home to the family. Surely the unions, if they are in touch at all with what's going on the street, read yesterday correctly. And that message was, to me, could not have been more obvious.
Yeah. And in fact, if you go back a few days, the unemployment numbers were released, and we have very, very high levels of unemployment in South Africa. And the best way of getting a job, and that's another concern that I have with organized labor, they want well-paid jobs and they want a living wage and stuff like that. And I agree with that. Of course, we all want well-paid jobs. But the best way to get a job, or the best way to get a good job, is to get a job. And the economy is just not growing fast enough to create opportunities for people to enter the job market, and certainly not growing fast enough to reduce the unemployment levels that we have currently in South Africa. And that is completely and totally counterproductive to go and strike and to undermine the economy because you want to complain about working conditions and rising costs and stuff like that, because that is, you're actually exacerbating a difficult situation as it is. Fortunately, the rules in South Africa today are that you have to ask your members before you declare a strike. You can't just, like what happened in the past, can't just go on a strike. So that is simply a welcome development, is that you need to poll your members and ask them, do you guys really think we should go on a strike? And what we have seen recently is that more and more people are saying, listen, but the strike is not the right way to go about doing things. And I think that at least is a positive development.
And do you think following this, we are going to see a bit of a shake-up? Certainly this tripartite agreement with the ANC, KUSATU, it certainly doesn't seem like it is that robust, considering that they're now marching against each other. It can't be a sign of absolute stability in that relationship.
Yeah. Maybe I just want to make another comment that I think is also very important, that actually underlines the point that I'm making, and that is so irresponsible to go on these wildcat strikes sometimes. And that is that we did mention we have high levels of unemployment and poverty, and we have rising levels of absolute poverty in South Africa, rising food prices and rising energy prices. This is a very, very dangerous situation in which we find ourselves in South Africa. And any kind of spark can really set off all sort of things that we don't want in South Africa. I am really concerned about that. So I just wanted to mention that. But the relationship, currently we have the so-called tripartite alliance, the three role players, the senior member of the ANC, that is the political party, the political leadership is with the ANC. But the two other organizations, the South African Communist Party and KUSATU, they also have certain functions. In the case of KUSATU, the job of KUSATU is to provide an infrastructure, and that infrastructure is very important, especially during elections, because the ANC uses basically the national infrastructure of KUSATU to market themselves. So that's basically the marketing arm, if you like, of the ANC. While the South African Communist Party, they are the ideologues. They're supposed to provide the ideological base for the tripartite alliance, and eventually that affects policy in South Africa and all of that. And as we know, we have a left-leaning government, and we have a left-leaning government, a socialist, communist kind of government in South Africa, exactly because of that. But I do believe that this relationship is under a lot of pressure. I think what we've clearly seen yesterday, and the hints that we get from the organized labor, the leadership thereof, that a new political party should be created, the labor centric political party, that is a sign that this alliance is not that strong and that healthy anymore. Additionally to that is that communism, or the ideology of communism, has been discredited all over the place. There are still a couple of diehard communists that's caused huge damage to South Africa, and I want to mention the name of Pravin Gordhan. I know the organized business, I think that he walks on water. That's not the case. This guy's caused immense damage to the fiscal accounts, to the state-owned enterprises, and Ibrahim Patel as well. So those are the real die-hard ideologues, communist ideologues. But without a doubt, this alliance is under a lot of pressure, and I've got a suspicion that the ANC will get below 50% in the next general election, and that means coalition governments in South Africa, and that inevitably means that you have to share some power with some of the other political parties. So I think what we are seeing indeed is huge pressure on the alliance, and what we are seeing at the moment is the beginning of the end of the ANC, and that is good news.
I couldn't agree more, even if we look at this morning's news headline on News 24, and I think it's very significant. Exclusive: Malema believes Mashatile would make a better ANC leader than Ramaphosa. So he's now calling for the leadership that he wants, because he understands that comes 2024, there's going to be this requirement for coalitions. And I think that is a very, very significant recognition.
Yeah, that is a very interesting point you're making, because we're probably going to see the ANC getting, let's call a number, 45% or so. So they will need a couple of the smaller political parties to be in power. But the point I want to make is that a coalition government in South Africa must include, in the next one, according to the numbers now, must include the ANC and or the EFF. It is possible for the opposition parties, that like the DA and a couple of the other opposition parties, to form a coalition, or it might be possible, but that means that they must include the EFF as well. And I'm not so sure they necessarily want to do that. But the important point is that usually what you find is coalitions that with completely different ideological views are quite often more stable than coalitions with very similar ideological views.
Absolutely.
So I don't think a coalition government with the EFF is necessarily going to be an unstable one. But my suspicion also is that Julius Malema's game, his strategy, is to undermine the ANC and wait for the ANC to break into smaller pieces and then go back and pick up the pieces. I think that is his strategy, because in his heart, he's actually an extension of the ANC.
Absolutely.
He wants to take over the ANC or whatever is left of the ANC eventually.
No doubt. Dovi Root, thank you as always. Founder, Director, Chief Economist at The Efficient Group. It's 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.